Good morning, Little Saigon, and all those locations within this general belt of causality. The folks that exist within the realm of the super noise of free will understand that, yes, God has a plan, but he gave us free will, and that is indeed the stone made so heavy that one cannot move it. Yeah, those fucking scholastics. I will say that there is always a reason to think about Tuesday as the new Monday. It's Tuesday, August the. Fuck, is it August the 27th? Oh, let me check. I believe it's August the 27th, 2019. Yeah, so it is Tuesday, August the 27th, 2019. And Tuesday is the new Monday. All the creatures of Gumbulus know this. Let me explain what I mean by this, you fuckers. A long time ago, when the Gimbic flags were fluggin'
Zeus.
what the fuck?
Fuck.
Oh God, Glimbus.
Good morning, Dan.
Good
You
morning.
fuck.
Fuck you.
I'm Glimbus
I
12.
know who you
Fuck you,
are.
Dan.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Eager.
Are you. What fresh hell is this?
Eager.
Are you masturbating?
Fuck you, Dan.
Fuck you.
Fuck.
Oh my gosh.
Eager.
Oh, you're broken.
Fuck, Dan.
You're broken.
Fuck.
Oh.
Shit.
You are broken, Gimbal.
I'm a hyper-intelligent robot man. What the fuck are you? You lazy middle-aged burnout programmer. Fuck.
Fuck you, Glimbus.
Okay.
Okay.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Glimbus. I mean, I'm glad you popped in to say hello, you fuck.
Whatever. Fuck you, Dan. Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, Glimbus. Not to say we're gonna miss you. We're not gonna miss you. Yeah, Glimbus calls in every once in a while, just like Beans. Beans will get on the fucking demon radio and try to send me messages. Yes, it's true, I'm saved. I've been baptized. But I gotta tell you, folks, there is a spiritual war ongoing. And yes, while I joke about it, both Glimbus, as a robot within the transhumanist identity movement, and Beans, as a French bulldog, have access to demon radio. Demon radio usually operates between 3 and 5 a.m., Monday through Friday. And then from 3 till 9 p.m., Monday through Friday, and usually on the weekends, because Beans is always a fuck. Yeah, so Beans is always a fuck, and I don't know what we do about that. Beans is a fuck. Yeah, so every once in a while I get a call from Beans or Glimbus. Glimbus 12 is a time traveling fucktard toaster AI from far in the future, probably on this timeline when we have so completely destroyed our environment that it's just a giant shithole. Not like today is so beautiful, but it's gonna get worse, folks. We're living in the age of toilet bowl Earth. And only the Klingons, only the most powerful turds will survive this bullshit. At least that's what how the theory goes, I think. If you're wondering what I'm doing, I'm testing out a new keyboard. I kind of splurged this month. I was really, really kind of materialistic, and I bought a Roland Go Keys. I'm kind of happy with it. It's their kind of entry-level keyboard, but now I think it should have been the keyboard I always bought, and now I feel like an idiot for buying the other keyboards. On the other hand, if things get bad enough with the trade war, by this time, Christmas time, right? By Christmas time, I might be able to sell one or two of those keyboards as I want to, but I don't think I'm going to want to, but who knows. Yeah, so anyways, Glimbus calls, Beans will call, first topic. So, I think you all know I work at Willy Wonka's magical software factory. It's across the Great Lake, which is near or adjacent to Seattle, and Seattle, which is the place I live, Little Saigon within it. I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, Little Saigon is magical, but not as magical as Willy Wonka's. Willy Wonka's is truly amazing. Okay, that's a weird one. I'm not sure how I feel about that one. I'm just messing around, folks. Just messing around, folks. I probably shouldn't do this during the fucking podcast, but yeah, I work at Willy Wonka's. I work at Willy's. And I don't know what to tell you, man. Sometimes I wonder. Yeah, anyways, first topic. I work at Willy's, Willy Wonka, beyond the Great Lake, and here's the deal. If you've been listening to me, you know that I am technically an Oompa Loompa there. I am an orange badge. I am a lower-tier slave monkey. My main role is to be a software janitor and instant repairman, and like Robert De Niro in, yeah, that movie Brazil. Yeah, I swoop in to save the day to fix shit, but truly, it's fucked, and the whole thing is fucked sometimes. And it's okay, it's a job. I mean, here's the thing, I pretty much like my team, the people I work with are pretty cool, so it all kind of works out, it's okay. It's a job. You know, it isn't like a Terry Gilliam situation with the movie Brazil, it's not a complete existential wasteland. However, every day on my way to work, I get to see propaganda. I get to see posters and lawn signs and all kinds of propaganda telling me that as a middle-aged, straight white man in America in 2019, my days are numbered. Soon the time of the hunting will come. Time of the hunting, men like me will be chased through the streets because of whatever bullshit reason the Marxists come up with. They will claim that we're backward thinkers. They will claim that we're atavistic. They will claim that we do not see the future for the present or the past for what it is, and they will make all kinds of outlandish statements. And our greatest crime will be to call bullshit. Yeah, so anyways, I see lots of propaganda, and none of it has to do with work. You know, if you show me a poster that tells me the percentage of some minority that's programming computers, that's fine. But let's all be honest about all the fucking percentages, please. Let's be honest about the percentage of unemployment in the United States right now. Yeah, it's not that magical number less than 5%. And guess what? There was no economic recovery. And if you factor in money printing since 2009, the world economy has been shrinking. The world economy's been shrinking, folks. So whatever magical fantasy world you want to live in, whatever planet you want to live in, fine. But if I see a Willy Wonka poster, a cultural Marxist corporate fucking agenda bullshit, an AstroTurf revolution, shoving some kind of bullshit down my throat about how it's weird that certain percentages of people are not represented, let me let you in a little secret. I think a lot of shit is weird in 2019. A lot of shit is totally fucked. You want to start with the breakdown of the pie chart or the bar chart of minority representation in the software engineering field, let's talk about unemployment. Let's talk about GDP. Let's talk about the value of the dollar since, I don't know, the day I was born in 1970. Yeah, let's talk about the value of the dollar. So I see all these fucking posters, and they tell me that, yeah, I'm the evil white man of history, and I have made riches off of all the murder and slavery. The problem is, in little Saigon, in my container-sized apartment, basically breathing in the construction dust that's burning my lungs, I have a hard time understanding your fucking argument. But here's the thing. I've talked about tolerance in the past, like the topic of tolerance. And the thing about tolerance, historically, and that's T-O-L-E-R-A-N-C-E, tolerance. Tolerance. Tolerance is your ability to accept people who are different, who have different ideas, and that also, and frankly, in Enlightenment terms, mostly referred to free speech. Because, frankly, people would go about their business and leave people the fuck alone. It was in the public square that people needed the most tolerance. It was in the trading square. It was in the agora. It was in the place where people met that some societies, intelligent societies, chose tolerance. And I'm a big supporter of tolerance. But the problem is, the shit that the fucking social justice warriors or cultural Marxists, and frankly, I want to call them the hijack zombies. The thing about these hijack zombies is that they're actually preaching intolerance. They're basically telling people, based upon the color of their skin, their age, their perceived gender, that their opinion is not welcome. And there are actual universities today where all these little Maoists will go around and do their little Gumbus dance and block a fucking lecture hall or block an auditorium because they cannot tolerate a different voice. They cannot tolerate a different perspective. Guys, I don't know shit about that Milo Yiannakopoulos. I don't give a fuck about him. I don't know him. I don't listen to him. But guess what? I would like to be able to think that anybody, including him, could go to a university, give a fucking lecture, without having a fucking brick thrown at them, or without people blocking the doorways. Why do ideas scare people so much? Well, I'll tell you why they scare people. The same reason why the Federal Reserve doesn't want you to know the real unemployment rate. Because if you knew these things, you would scream bloody murder. If you understood how fucked you are, if you understood who did the fucking, you would immediately contact your friends in arms, your buddy in the military, you'd have that conversation, and then you'd start making plans. If you actually took your dignity seriously. That's the reality, folks, is that if you want to tolerate, you need to tolerate everybody. Here's the thing, folks. In 2012, I voted for gay marriage. Now, I'm going to be honest about this because this last weekend, the pastor at my church, who I think is a really brave and good man, a great pastor, he had the courage, and this is in Seattle, Washington, he had the courage to come out and say that our church believes that marriage is between a man and a woman. I'm going to tell you something. You go to any of these asterisk churches in downtown Seattle, the fucking Lutheran Gay Pride Church or any of the other churches, they're going to go with whatever globalist Marxist agenda they're told to go with. But this pastor had the courage to say that we as Christians in our church believe marriage is between a man and a woman. That takes a lot of courage to say that. But the thing I've been worried about, and this is what I was worried about in terms of finding a church, is that people would look at me and say, well, Dan's weird. Now, here's the thing you gotta know, folks. In 2012, I voted in support of gay marriage because in 2012, I was still a libertarian. I still believe that we could put the magical crocodile, which you can also call government, on some magical diet plan, and that after a few, you know, maybe 4, 8, or 12 years, the crocodile will look something like what it did in 1900. But that's not reality, folks. That's a fantasy world, okay? But yeah, I voted for two things in 2012 in Washington State. And really, it was the last election I gave a fuck about. One of them was gay marriage, the other one was legalizing weed. In retrospect, I think the entire thing was foolish. After that vote, it took fucking 2 years, more or less, for the state of Washington to allow people to start selling marijuana. And to this day, the fucking attorney general of the state has still not invoked the 10th Amendment. What the fuck is wrong with you, Washington State? Are you that fucking stupid? Anyways, yeah, but I also voted for gay marriage, and the belief was tolerance. Like, I was gonna be tolerant. I was going to be the example libertarian who, even though I might not agree with your perspective, I was going to support your right to be you. Well, here's a little lesson, folks. I've been weird my whole fucking life. I have been weird since I was a fucking kid. I have been weird since Sister Marjorie in kindergarten, in first grade and whatever, was kicking me into the hall. I was weird since my mom's doctor, my mom's primary care physician, recommended mixing wine with my water on the way to fucking first grade. True story. And also, I think probably that would have been better, in retrospect, than what they give kids today, which is essentially speed. Yeah, anyways, I've been weird my whole life, but here's a little factoid that Uncle Dan discovered about his weirdness a few years ago, and the reason why he's very dubious of the whole fucking LGBTQRXYZ movement. My weirdness is not only not accepted, my weirdness is not only rejected, but my weirdness happens to be the weirdness that every motherfucker who wants to turn himself from a man into a woman will say, well, Dan, why don't you just go on a drug? Dan, why don't you go on a drug? Because your weirdness can be treated by Prozac 28. Dan, why aren't you so happy? You should be happy like the rest of us. Dan, don't you know that the health and wealth Jesus wants you to be happy, shiny all the time so you can get your fucking BMW? Don't you want your BMW, Dan? BMW Jesus will get it for you. Yeah, I have been weird my whole life. But it just turns out that my weird, which is basically a person that doesn't see the world the way you do, I'm not all happy, shiny. When that fucking Feral song came out in 2013 or 2014, that fucking happy, yeah. I thought that was the stupidest fucking song ever, and it looked like cultural propaganda. My whole life, I have been a person who lives in a bit of darkness, and that's part of who I am. And another reason why I like my church, they accept me for that. In fact, my pastor actually gave a sermon several months ago. It felt like it was directed towards me, and the main message was, is that God also loves those of us who do scream in the wilderness. God also loves those of us who are haunted by demons and pain. It turns out that God does not expect us to go on fucking Prozac if we don't want to. But what's important, folks, especially if one of you fucking upside-down, sideways people that wants to believe that the solution to your life is to change genders, what's really important is that even though Jesus accepts me and even though my congregation accepts me, the very people that want me to fight their battles for tolerance and make sure that the pie chart of human representation is exactly what it should be in software engineering reject me every fucking day of the week. I'm glad to be back in Washington State. I'm glad to be back here because I have family here that I love. Even the family I don't get along with, I'm glad to be here because some tough times are ahead. And I've figured out in the last few years that if you can't trust strangers, you sure as shit better try to trust family. Now, my family accepts me. Not always. Sometimes I got friction, but for the most part, they accept me. But the very people I'm supposed to stand up for will tell me, Dan, why don't you see a psychiatrist? Why don't you go on some drug? You mean the same drug that those fuckers were on that went around shooting people? Is that the drug that you would recommend? The drug that the crazy people use before they go and kill a bunch of people? No, I don't think I'll be going on that fucking drug. You see, here's the thing, folks. This is the message of this first topic. And perhaps this topic is important enough, it should almost be the whole podcast, but it won't be. As an anarchist, I want to live in a live and let live world, which means that I don't want to be the person that shoves my beliefs down your throat. Please don't be the person that shoves your fucking beliefs down mine. Moreover, I go to work to work. I don't go to work to see propaganda. I don't go to work to be told that some percentage of minorities are not being represented. I don't go to work to be fed a bunch of cultural Marxist bullshit. I go to work, to do as good a job as I can, to get paid, and go the fuck home at a decent fucking hour. So yeah, folks, I'll tell you straight up, a time is coming at Willy Wonka's. Because of where all this bullshit, noisy, cultural Marxism is going. It really is a big psyop to confuse people. To keep them off their... Basically, to keep them off balance. To very much do what a magician will do at the table. To get you to focus on the face and not on the hands. That's what all this bullshit is about. It isn't about people that run the world giving a shit about you. If you have confusion around your gender, I'll let you in a little secret. The people funding your movement don't give a fuck about you. You are simply a tool. And when the time comes to turn on you, I hate to break it to you, but they're going to turn on you too. I wish people would understand this. I mean, here's the thing. I don't hate people for being gay. I don't judge them for being gay. I don't have any gay friends. I won't say, I've got a gay friend. I don't. I don't have any gay friends. But that also means that I would say I could never have a gay friend. But here's what I'll also say. I could never have a gay friend who tried to shove some sort of weird sexual Marxist agenda down my throat. I could have a gay friend if we were willing to talk about shit and even talk about that. But to have it sort of impressed upon you that there's something wrong with you if you don't buy into this, that's a bit different. That's not a conversation. That's indoctrination. There are days coming where you're going to have to ask yourself what's more important. And there's a day coming at Willie's when I'm going to be told you're going to accept this cultural Marxist bullshit or you are going to leave. Well, folks, it's pretty simple for me. I don't have kids. I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have a wife. And my family understands me and I believe my congregation accepts me. If the day comes that Willie's asked me to do something that I think is unprincipled or immoral, to support an agenda that I think is against the works of God, then guess what? I will tell Willie's to go fuck itself. And believe me, if I could have my organ while I'm doing it, I will. Hey, Willie, man. Yeah, so I don't know what to tell you guys. I mean, there's a person that works nearby. And I won't say more about this person, but this person is technically in the category of either they don't know who they are or do. And because of that, they are amped up. Like literally, this person is a fuzzier, shinier person to everybody because, in my opinion, this person is probably disturbed. I think a lot of transgender people have mental issues. But here's the thing, folks. That's their business. If they want to be that way, that's their business. The same thing applies to me. I guess what I'm saying is, before I end this topic, is I really do want reciprocation here. If you're going to tell me to accept you for who you are, trans, gay, whatever, don't fucking tell me to go on Prozac. Don't tell me that my view of the world is not acceptable. Guess what? There's lots of fucking colors in that fucking rainbow. Not just one, not just two, many. Spectrums you can't see. Some of those spectrums might even be called dark spectrums, but they're still there in that fucking rainbow. Next topic. Yeah, I guess I got kind of angry there, folks, but believe me, I get to the point sometimes with all this fucking social justice warrior bullshit that I just want to scream and say, people, are you stupid? Do you not realize you're being played? Do you not realize that this is an operation for which you have no understanding, but you are being used? That's what I want to tell the people, you know, including people who are gay, including people who believe that they need to transition. I just want to tell them, before you do the things you're going to do, think about who's telling you to do this. Think about who's boosting you. Do some fucking research. Don't assume for one second that your agenda, that your movement came whole cloth from some, you know, ground, you know, on the ground thing. Okay, don't assume that it came from, you know, ordinary people. I think you need to research where that agenda came from. It did not come from ordinary people. That's just what I'm going to say, and let's switch topics. Okay, actually the next two are good because they're related, and it's about me thinking about, you know, how I deal. So here's the deal, folks. It's true. My whole life, I have kind of been the kind of person who sees flaws in everything. I suppose it's why I ended up an atheist for so long. I was raised Catholic. To me, it became almost obvious. In fact, after I saw Star Wars, I was 7 years old when I saw Star Wars, the first movie, which was technically Episode 4. What the fuck? Anyways, after I saw the movie Star Wars in 77, and it was Colonial Wars, not Clone Wars, and yeah, they're editing history. Oh, I'm so sorry, folks. They're editing history. And I don't mean the Mandela effect. I don't mean the fucking time travel. I mean, literally, they're going into fucking movies and books and they're editing it. They're editing this shit. It's pretty fucked up. Anyways, after I saw the movie Star Wars and the amazing special effects, it occurred to me that that's essentially what a Catholic mass was like. I mean, when you think about it, the building of these magnificent cathedrals in the Middle Ages, the fucking organ music, all of the incredible rituals, it's really designed to be kind of like special effects. To convince you that, hey, we'll prove there's a God by doing weird Catholic bullshit with incense and music. And I saw right through that. I think Martin Luther did too. I mean, a lot of Protestants, you know, it wasn't just about indulgences. It wasn't just about the explicit overreach of the papacy, the explicit abuse. It was also about the undercurrent of the message, the level to which it was about worshiping graven images and idols, and not about Jesus Christ. So yeah, I've seen the flaws in everything, and I saw the flaws in the Catholic Church very early. I went to college, I studied the history of the Catholic Church along with the history of other things, and I came to the realization, in my view, that the Catholic Church is kind of like the zombie that rose up when the Western Roman Empire collapsed. Now, folks, so you know, in the 4th century, technically in the late 3rd century, but really the early 4th, the Roman Empire was split into two halves, the Eastern and the Western. And the Eastern Empire actually lasted as the Byzantine Empire until 1453. I mean, that's not that long ago. Yeah, it's kind of long ago, but it's only a few centuries ago. But yeah, up until the 15th century, there was still an Eastern Roman Empire. In the 5th century AD, the Western Empire began to collapse. And that's also where you have what's sometimes referred to as the quote-unquote Dark Ages of Europe. And I've told you in the past, the definition of a Dark Age is that you have very little written history. So therefore, the Middle Ages were not Dark Ages. By the time you get to the 12th century, people are keeping history again. Okay, you have history. It may not be our history the way we like history, but you have monks transcribing and shit. But between roughly the early 400s and sometime, you know, maybe a century before Charlemagne, but really realistic, Charlemagne's a good spot in the 8th century. In that period of time, there was very little written history. A lot of legend, a lot of oral history. And this is where a lot of the Arthurian legends, the Holy Grail legends come from, this period of time. Now, I'm going off on that tangent because, yeah, when I studied this in college, it became apparent to me that when the Western Roman Empire collapsed, the papacy essentially took on the roles, the images, the symbols, the language, and I would argue even the religion. Like when I believe that there are Catholics and even Catholic priests who are authentic Christians. But I believe in my heart that the papacy itself, that Rome, is not Christian at all. It really is, it's still a kind of emperor worship. Except in this case, the emperor worship isn't an emperor, it's a pope. So anyways, ever since I was a kid, I could see flaws in everything. And here's the problem. If you're an atheist, and you're like me, and you see flaws in everything, you're sort of not understanding what's going on. This is a fallen world, okay, folks? This is a world that could have been paradise, but choices were made long, long, long before we were born, and we got kicked out of paradise, and that's the reality. So if you walk in this world, if you live in this world, if you observe what's going on around you, if you hear what's going on around you, you're going to see flaws. You're going to hear things that you think are wrong. This is a world that is fallen. So finding a flaw in a fallen world is not that hard to do. And if you're an atheist, all you ever do is see flaws. Now, folks, I'm still working on it. I mean, I gotta tell you, I'm still very much the person I was before. But the difference is now when I see flaws, I try to recognize, you know what, that's kind of just how it is. I don't buy into the perfectibility of the human species or human civilization. I do believe there is an authentic and true way to live, and that's free. That is the case. I do think there's a way that humans can live, and we can live optimally. But that's with no government at all. That's with cooperation. That's with virtue. That's with treating each other with respect. Everything else is a path to extinction. Okay? It really is, folks. Every other path, other than freedom, is a path to extinction. A free human society would have never done Keynesian bullshit. A free human society would have never pulled forward several centuries of demand in a period of just a few decades. That's essentially what tyrants do. That's what crazy fucking crocodiles do. But a free society would reach balance. It would never have a Federal Reserve. It would never have that giant credit card. And it would never end up taking the human population, which was roughly stable at 1 billion people for a long time, all the way up to 7 to 8 billion people. This is a fallen world, folks. It's not that hard to find flaws in it. What's difficult, especially these days, in my opinion, is to look for the things that are not flawed, to look for the things that are good, to look for the things that are decent. It's hard for me, and I have to work on it. But what I'm telling you, it's hard for you too. You might think you're a positive person, but you need to fucking ask yourself, what the fuck are you being positive about? If you're being positive about the whole support the troops rant, here's the deal, folks. I feel concern for people that serve in combat. And if I can help a veteran recover from that experience, I will do what I can. But do I, quote unquote, support the troops going to war anywhere? No. I don't support these stupid fucking wars. I don't support the stupid fucking violence. I don't support the stupid fucking amping up of aggression against Iran. And if you're all positive about that, and on top of it, you're a Christian who also involves themselves in Israel worship, yeah, Israel is a golem. Israel's a golem, folks. And if you're one of these Christians who thinks you have to support Israel in order to be a good Christian, I think you're also deeply fucking confused. Really, I do. But the bottom line is this. This is a fallen world. And while I need to look for the good things, if you're one of these happy, shiny people, that's okay. Jesus Christ loves you. But I would ask you examine what you're so fucking happy, shiny about. Just please, just spend a moment today. If you're a fucking always happy person, make a list of the shit you're happy about and then meditate on that list, each fucking item. And then ask yourself, is that something I should really be happy about? There is a thread to this podcast, folks. It isn't just about me being a weirdo and feeling excluded. It's about the things that don't fit. Our current paradigm is going to fail. Our current set of economic relationships is nearly at the end, not the beginning, folks. That doesn't mean the end of the world. I don't know what the fuck is coming. I often refer to it as the great discontinuity, which means that before us is a set of discontinuous functions. All of them have different likelihoods, starting points, and endpoints. And yeah, some of these functions, some of these magical paths we can go on, some of them might be amazingly great. Some of them might involve star travel. But the reality is this, the future is very unstable. That is the time of history we're living in right now. It's a very unstable time. I don't want to beat this topic to death, but the main thread here is that it isn't just that we don't know what tolerance is, or we don't know why we're happy about something being good, or why is Dan so much always finding the flaws. It's this. The things we're told to ignore are still there. Listen, I know you don't want to hear this, but the Puget Sound's ecosystem is collapsing. I don't know what's causing it. I don't know who's behind it. But what I can tell you is that my experiences as a kid fishing on the Puget Sound back in the 1970s and 80s in no way correlates to what the fuck I'm seeing today. I used to be able to stand in Western Washington and see the Olympic Mountains. On a clear day, I could see the Olympic Mountains and the Cascades at the same fucking place at the same fucking time. Yesterday on the bus, as I was moving across the great fucking bridge of the great fucking lake, I could slowly see the Olympics on yesterday's clear day. I could slowly see the Olympics. And then as I could slowly see the Olympics, the Cascades went behind the wall of all that fucking shit and glumbus they're dumping into the atmosphere. Yeah, I see the flaws, folks, and I need to work on that. But if you're one of these people that ignores the flaws because they don't fit with your fucking view of the world, folks, you need to fucking open your eyes too. Maybe we need to meet halfway. What do you think about them apples, fucker? Yeah. Next topic is actually related. Maybe this will be the last topic, I don't know. It's related to what we're talking about. I am a Christian, and I believe in God, and I also believe God accepts me for who I am. But that doesn't mean that because I'm a certain way, I should go around being a jerk. So as stated earlier, I'm a weirdo. I've always seen the world different. When I was 20 years old, I had this experience at the University of Oregon during a debate tournament. I was sitting by a pond, a reflecting pool, and I was reading the Confessions of St. Augustine. And it occurred to me, holy fuck, these words, the reason why they mean something to me, the reason why I connect with them is because I feel like he's talking about today. He was really remembering what it was like to live in the final decades of the Western Roman Empire. But I actually felt like he was talking about life in America in the 1990s. So I've always been the person that probably I see the flaws. I've always been the person who maybe didn't have the view of the future that you have. It doesn't mean I think that we're doomed. I've talked about this in the past. Not all are doomed. But the reality is some are doomed. And if you're a Christian, you have to accept the fact that it's not only are some doomed physically, because we all are, we will all die. It's that some people, once they die, they're going to go to hell, and they will never know the love of Jesus. They will never, ever have the experience that I hope to have when I die. And I think that's kind of sad. I think it's horrible. I don't blame God for it. Frankly, I think human beings have been given so much rope. If you read the Bible, which, oh, by the way, is not a cartoon book, if you read the Bible, it's a story of humans being given a billion opportunities, a billion chances, and more or less fucking up every single time. And yet God never gives up on us. I have to work on my negativity as a Christian. It doesn't mean I have to be a different person. It doesn't mean I'm going to magically not be me. Folks, here's the deal. The person you're hearing right now is pretty damn close to who I am. The person you hear in my podcast is pretty close. I'll admit last winter, I got pretty dark. But to my own credit, even in that darkness, it wasn't complete darkness. But this is who I am. So if you're going to email me and say, Dan, why can't you be more magically happy shiny? I'll probably send you a response with many of the dirty words my father taught me while working up in the woods as a logger. And those words are worse than any of the words you've ever heard. Yeah, so I have to work on my negativity. But I also have to believe that I'm going to find a community one day, and I kind of have. I mean, my congregation might be it, but I have to believe that there is going to be a place for me before I die where I feel welcome. But if that doesn't happen, if that also is not an uncommon story in the Bible or in life. Some of us are outcasts. Some of us end up living on the edge of society our whole fucking life. And if that's true, okay. Do what you can to find community, but don't ever use that as an excuse to become less than human. Don't use that as an excuse to say, well, society has rejected me, therefore I hate everybody. That's a really terrible path to go down. But you can, I think, embrace the possibility that if you're patient and you're willing to let God help, and part of that is, you know, opening your heart to God, open your heart to Jesus, if you're willing to let him help, you might be surprised what can happen. Anyways, I feel like these first few topics have been kind of definitely on the same thread. So I feel like I need to do one more. I don't want to do this one. Okay, so I want to revisit something about work that happened the other day. I was at Willy Wonka's. And so you know, I work with a process that's technically an ETL process, and that means extract, transform, and load. ETL. ETL. ETL is a process by which the glumbus of text files and CSV files and XML and other ephemera of the outer world get processed into some type of data warehouse or system or glumbus. ETL is how we get data in the databases. Yeah, so I basically work with an ETL thing, and I don't need to say too much. It's in the cloud. I won't say which one, but actually, if you practice your reasoning skills and you picked up enough hints, you ought to be able to figure out what Willy Wonka's mass, you know, you should be able to figure out where I work. But I currently work at this place, and I work on ETL that is in the cloud. And let me tell you what I've learned about the cloud so far, at least this version of it, this particular vendor. I've learned from internal people that nobody really trusts it. I've learned that nobody trusts it enough to let you expand the fucking C drive of a VM, to stop a VM and expand the C drive. I didn't say make it smaller. I said expand a C drive. People don't trust this particular cloud solution enough to do that at the very company that invented the cloud solution. So I was in a meeting last week about some stupid shit involving some audited bullshit. and a program that they want us to install on all our VMs. And I mentioned that I was working on automating the build out of a VM. And this dude sitting across me said, "Well, I know about Azure and fucking cloud programming and PowerShell. I can help you." And he said this in front of people. Now, this is the important point, folks. He said this bullshit in a meeting. And one of the things you learn about willies and the weird sociopathy and passive-aggressive on-the-spectrum bullshit is that many things will be said in meetings that don't actually happen in real life. Yeah, so this fucker at the end of the meeting says, "Oh, Dan, if you have any questions about programming the cloud with PowerShell or working with templates, please let me know." So I did exactly that a few hours later. I sent him a message through our instant messaging application. I said, "Hey, if I had some questions, would it be okay if I asked them?" I didn't even bring up a specific question. I just said if it was okay, because literally an hour earlier, this motherfucker said, "Feel free to ask me fucking questions." Well, the response back I got was, "Well, Dan, in all my years at the ripe old age of 26 of working with the cloud since 2014, blah, 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 I've learned so many things, but I feel like you should do it yourself. And I know that you're getting paid by the hour, and no way does an Oompa Loompa get day of learning bullshit or half the crap that we get. But yeah, why don't you put your fucking job at risk and just study the fucking cloud every day?" I didn't even ask him any question, and he literally put up a brick wall. I simply asked, "Would it be okay if I sent you a couple questions in an email?" I don't know if you all know what a learning organization is. There's a book by Peter Senge called The Fifth Discipline. If you haven't read it and you're in a management role and you haven't read The Fifth Discipline, you should, you fuck. But the point is, in a learning organization, you share information. You don't sit on it like a jackass. But what's more important, you don't promise to do something and then take it back and then give some bullshit explanation. Here's the deal, folks. This particular cloud solution, which I inadvertently mentioned the name of earlier in the podcast, and no, I don't give a fuck enough to block that at all. This particular cloud solution is sold to hospitals, to public schools, to governments. I know for a fact that there is a major state in this country, because I worked in the whole public school space for a while, that rejected the cloud because it wasn't secure. And basically, what this dude told me when I first met him, and he said the same thing another dude said, essentially, this is a common thing at Willy Wonka's. Basically, it's unstable. It has too many changing APIs. It's trying to be too much. And a lot of people don't trust it. Anyways, the main point of this topic was this dude acting the way he did. If I ever work with you on a project, some days I might be grumpy, but what I'll never do is be a fucking information hoarder, because that's counterproductive. If you think the value of your situation, if you think that your work value, that your job is about sitting on information, you're a fucking idiot. There is no upside to that approach. I know some of you believe there is, but there really isn't. Because in the long term, even if you succeed, you will be known to be an asshole. And there's two ways of succeeding in life. There's the way that the fucking magical glowing rectangle tells you to succeed, and that is to have stuff and make lots of money. Or you can succeed by being a good person. Ignore the Christian stuff. I don't want you to, but do. If you want to, just pretend that I'm not a Christian. I'm just talking to you as a fucking human being. You've got option A, option B. Option A is be a good person in work and in life. Practice good business ethics. If you make a promise in a meeting, keep the fucking promise. That's A, be a good person. B is be a dick, be a scumbag, screw your friend, be a blue falcon, shit on your food, shit on your neighbor, be the French bulldog of existence. That's B. You can be a shitbird, or you can be a decent person. Those are your choices, folks. And maybe there's a lot of spectral choices in between, but those are the two basic central tendencies. this fucker has chosen to be a douchebag. So I know him to be a douchebag, and he knows this now. And yeah, the worst part is I have to work with him, and I'll figure out how to do that. But I gotta tell you, it will take all the energy of the Holy Spirit to make me help him if he ever comes to me for help. If he ever says to me, Dan, I don't know how to do this. I said, well, you know, I've only been doing this for 20 years, you fuck. But maybe you should, like, spend the next 20 years studying this and figure out the answers for yourself and fuck you. I don't want to do that because I don't think Christ would want me to. But if this same fucker came up to me asking a question, which is highly unlikely, I just don't know what I would do. I think I'd probably say the same shit to him. You know, dude, here, I'll give you a link to a book. Anyways, if you're keeping your shit in the cloud, folks, you need to think about that word, cloud. I got another word for you. It's fog. I got another word for you. The occult and obscuration. Cloud is an infinite glumbus of poop and pee and urine goop. Yeah, anyways, I won't do that, but I beat that topic to death. You shouldn't beat topics to death, though. That's wrong. Next topic, perhaps last topic. So, I am a religious person, and I am an environmentalist. I won't tell you that I've done great things for the environment. I have not. I've not joined some organization. I'm not out picking up garbage. I've had this idea for a few months now, and I think I may do it, of just starting to pick up garbage around Little Saigon. I know that may sound stupid, it may be pointless, but I think I may try to do that. And not as a way to say, virtue signal, look at me, I'm picking up garbage. More like a way of, is there anything any of us can do? Because right now it looks like the human race is riding a crazy train right to extinction. And no, folks, I don't know all the answers. But what I can tell you is this. The weather is fucked. If you're some stupid fucking scumbag who wants to email me about how the weather in Washington State is just like it's always been, you're some type of a psyop, deep state fuck, or you're crazy. Or you're on those fucking drugs they want me to take. And those are not drugs that are making you safer, or smarter, or more sane. I don't know for certain what's causing it. If I'm to believe men like Guy McPherson, it's simply the case that the human race We prospered, we multiplied, we produce a lot of CO2 as a result of our technology, and the amount of CO2 that the life sink can hold has been surpassed. And a lot of it's going into the ocean, folks. The oceans are acidifying. This is something that's going on. This has been studied. When people say, well, CO2 makes things live, well, that's true, folks. It's also true that drinking water keeps you alive, but if you drink too much water, you can actually die. If you go into the jungles of Central America and you don't bring salt tablets along with water, within a few days you can go into a fucking coma. So yes, it's true. Water is good for you. But if all you did was drink water all day, eventually you would die. And I can keep going, folks. There are lots of things that are good for you. There are lots of things that are healthy. But pretty much any of it, beyond a certain point, becomes a poison. CO2 is necessary for plants. Too much CO2 will kill plants eventually. If not directly, indirectly, because temperatures will be too high for something called photosynthesis. Oh, shit. You didn't know that? You didn't know it could get too hot for photosynthesis to work? Yeah, it can. And CO2 plus water over time means acidification. Oh, that Pepsi you're drinking? You know how that works? I don't know who or what is causing this. I have my own theories. As a Christian, I frankly think it's 100%, you know, Lucifer. I think it's the plan. You know, God has a plan, and God's plan is the plan. If you're a person of faith, you know who wins, and that's God. You know that God wins in the end. But that doesn't mean that Lucifer, like any good French bulldog, doesn't believe that he's going to somehow beat God. I mean, of course, a French bulldog has no chance of doing so against you as its owner, nor does Lucifer have any chance of defeating God. But that doesn't mean that Lucifer doesn't believe it. So Lucifer has a plan, and I think that we're experiencing it right now. I think that it's even odds, but I think it's actually possible that all of the crap they're dumping into the atmosphere is the main reason why the weather is sideways, and it could be the main reason why things have become so poisonous. But I also have to tell you, I think that we have been terrible to the environment. So even if like Dane Wigington, who thinks that geoengineering is happening, that we are being geoengineered, even if Dane Wigington were right, he admits that's not the whole problem. We still have all the damage to the life system, to the ecosystem that we've done. Yeah, we're on a crazy train to extinction, in my opinion. And that doesn't even include the fact that we live in a complex society that is a daisy chain of bullshit amongst people who are becoming, in my opinion, more incompetent. And we have, I think, between 300 and 400 nuclear reactors around the world, about 80 boiling water reactors, the most dangerous kind in the United States. And you say, Dan, why are you going off on that tangent again? Because you can do a lot with a boiling water reactor, but you can't ignore it. If it loses electricity, if it doesn't have the ability to pump water through the reactor, the control rods melt. And once that happens, you're fucked. And all that happens fairly rapidly, within a few hours, definitely within a day. So tell me, how much do you trust the continuity, the reliability, the predictability of your current set of economic and technological affairs? How much do you trust your coworkers? Folks, I live at Willy Wonka's, and if you are to believe all the fucking ego-driven fucks, all the Gumbus hounds, all the hipster derelicts who meet at the fucking cafeterias each day at Willy's, if you were to believe the bullshit coming out of their heads, they would say they're the smartest people that ever lived, and I can tell you they're fucking morons. So if these people are morons, who do you think's running the power plants, the nuclear power plants? Do you think the best and the brightest are currently managing whether or not a backup generator gets delivered to some particular nuke plant? All it takes, one backup generator to not be there. That's all it takes, folks. One backup generator without diesel. One pump, one water pump that fails, one water pump that doesn't have power. That's all it takes. And once one reactor goes, here's the deal, folks. The United States doesn't get stronger as a country once we have one meltdown go to China syndrome. It gets weaker. The next one is more likely at that point. Folks, this isn't just about global warming. This isn't just about one thing. And there is a spiritual war ongoing. And I will tell you explicitly that I believe Lucifer is behind all this. I really do. Now, does that mean I understand what his goal is ultimately? No, I don't. But one of the things that's occurred to me in recent months is the following scenario. And I think I've mentioned it before, but I'm going to mention it again. And here's the scenario. Imagine Guy McPherson is right. Imagine that sometime in the next few weeks, somebody comes on the news, probably the leaders of the world, and they tell us a massive methane release is imminent. You know, maybe from the Eastern Siberian Arctic Shelf, maybe from someplace else, a massive amount of methane has already been released. We're in runaway greenhouse. We've got 5 or 6 years. People should settle their affairs. I know that would be horrible. Like, you say, well, why would they do that? Well, like, I'll tell you why, because you got to hear the whole story. That would create panic. That would literally tip people sideways. And I'll also say this, too. A lot of quote-unquote squishy Christians would lose their faith that day. The day that the President Trump in his Trumpisms comes on TV and staggers his way intellectually through the expression that we're all doomed will be a day that a lot of Christians end up stop being Christians. I don't want that to happen. I believe the Lord came to save us, but I will be honest with you. This is that separating the wheat from the chaff thing. The thing about Revelations, a lot of it's about a progressive process of figuring out, you know, whether you really believe or not. It really is. In fact, in many ways, Revelations is like the elongated day that Peter spent just after, you know, actually the same day that Christ was being crucified. In a lot of ways, Revelations is like that. You know, we're going to be asked many times, do you believe in God? We will be asked by our co-workers, we'll be asked by our employers, we'll be asked by police at some point. We'll be asked if we're Christian, but I've gone too far. So here's what's going to happen. In a few weeks, maybe a few months, the world leaders come on. They say, yes, we are in runaway greenhouse effect. We have a few years before things become unlivable, you know, blah, blah, blah. You have a massive amount of panic. And folks, here's the deal. Part of this plan is you got to have that panic for a while. Like, I think you'd have to have about 3 or 4 months of chaos. And then sometime, and it very well could be around Christmas time, because I got to tell you, Lucifer loves to turn things around. He loves the opposites. Sometime around Christmas, some dude rises up and he comes on the internet and then he goes on TV and says, folks, I have the solution. I'm going to heal the earth. And it's all going to sound really good. You say, holy crap, this whiz kid from Silicon Valley or Russia or China, this whiz kid has come along. He's going to save the earth. But the problem is, this whiz kid, wherever he or she comes from, is also going to say things like, well, I'm going to heal the earth, but we need to have one world government, and we need to have one world religion, and we all need to recognize that we got here for a reason, and it was because of those terrible, terrible, horrible Christians. Lucifer is an angel, which means Lucifer is 50 trillion times smarter than me. But even I can see, in that kind of plan, the signature of Nero. Nero sets fire to Rome because Rome is going to be his next art project, but he needs to blame somebody. So who's he going to blame? The Christians. Well, I can't imagine a bigger fucking barnyard party, a bigger fucking barn fire than trying to set fire to the planet. And then coming along and saying, look at me, I put out the fire. And yeah, oh, by the way, one world government, one world religion. Yeah, we're going to have a dog named Chip that's going to go around sniff you and see if you've had your 47 vaccinations this month. And if you don't have a chip, it'll bite you and give you a chip. Yeah. Someone will come out of that chaos to promise the world back to you. And then it will be up to you to whether or not you choose God or choose the magician. What I'm telling you is that we are potentially in that time, and you need to be careful. Now, is this the only potential path? No, folks, there's free will. Nobody can predict the future except for God. And I'm not God. But I will tell you that one of the scary scenarios I've thought about deals with this issue. Anyways, this has been a long podcast, really long, and I feel like I need to close it out maybe with a song about living in Little Saigon, maybe with some other type of gumbus. I really don't know. I mean, sometimes I think to myself about... What the fuck? Oh, fuck beans. Yes. Okay, beans. Okay. Yes. Fuck. Fuck you, beans. Oh my god, beans. Okay, so beans just contacted me. Glimbus 12 did earlier. Beans is telling me I need to get my lazy ass off to work. And he's right. I need to head to work soon. Beans is fucking terrible. And you know what? Beans calls, and it's like I want to translate him correctly. I'm actually going to design a translator soon so we can hear what Beans is actually saying. It is Tuesday, the new Monday. I hope you guys have a great Tuesday. Be careful. Watch out for the French Bulldogs of midnight. And remember that at any moment in this life, you can have the opportunity to see the good or the bad. Don't be afraid to see the good in the world. Don't be afraid to see the bad.